I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the Israelites made it out in the desert, and they're not happy campers. They are not. They are sick and tired of this trip. They are tired of eating manna. What did you eat for breakfast? Manna. Lunch, manna. Dinner, manna. What are you going to eat tomorrow? Manna. Next week, manna. Manna, manna, manna. There's not enough water. We're sick and tired of all this. They actually wish that they were back in Egypt as slaves. There were cucumbers there. There were melons there. Oh, and it was so wonderful making bricks and being slaves. That's what they thought. Why did you take us out in the desert to have us die? They wish they'd never left Egypt. They didn't get what they wanted. Makes you think maybe God had a goal, a purpose for their life, and once they got there, they still were not happy. It wasn't enough. And they're like, is this all there is? Manna? I didn't ask for manna. So they complain. Non-stop complaining. Have you ever been with kids in the car and all they do is non-stop complaining? Like, let's drive home to Indiana. Non-stop complaining. Yeah, non-stop complaining. They are complaining non-stop. Wish they'd never gone. Why did we do that whole sacrificial lamb thing and the Passover thing? We should have just died back there. Would have been a lot easier. They complain about things. They complain to God. They complain to Moses non-stop. God is sick and tired of it. Now, he puts up with an awful lot, but he just had enough. So he sends some poisonous snakes into their camp, and people start dying. Well, it hit home when their neighbors were no longer there, when their long-lost cousins were no longer there. It hit home, and they realized, oops, we should not have done that. We did the wrong thing. We're sorry, Moses. Go tell God that we're super sorry. So Moses goes and he intercedes for the people. And God says, Moses, go make a graven image of a snake and put it on a pole. And whoever looks at it will be healed. Is that making sense to you? No, that is pretty crazy. Like, why not just have a rabbit's foot if you're going to go with that? Or like, you know, a good luck charm. It seems very magical that if you look at something, then you're going to be healed. Yeah, but we're going to talk about that today. So it's not as weird as it sounds, but you have to expand your horizon or something. Be open to it. So Moses makes a graven image, goes against one of the Ten Commandments, makes the snake, and he probably makes it out of like copper or bronze so that when it shines in the light, it turns red. And it reminds people, oh, yeah. When Aunt Gertrude died, she was bright red because the snake bite caused her to be red from the fever. So that's like a red snake, huh? Hold on to that thought. The snake looked like the people that had sinned, and now the snake is on a pole. But the snake that Moses made was like, you know, he got the stuff and he rolled it together and he made a snake out of it. The actual snake on the pole couldn't bite anybody, right? Because it was made out of bronze or copper, probably. And so those graven images don't actually bite you. There was no harm if you looked at the snake. The snake on the pole was lifted high as a triumph over all the poisonous snakes. Ah! God is winning over the snakes. Okay, hold on to that thought. We're going to circle back. It's going to be so mind-blowing. You're going to go crazy. All right, so the Israelites do three things. First of all, they recognize, we should not have done that. They recognize their sin. They realize that they were a sinner and needed help because they were dead. The snake was going to bite them next. Oh, help, what are we going to do? So they were sinners. Number two, they confessed their sins. They're like, uh-oh, we're really sorry. We did the wrong thing. We should not have been complaining nonstop about the manna and that we never should have left Egypt. And the third thing that they did was they looked at the bronzen serpent on the pole. Now, just looking at it, they were healed. But it's more than just look. They accepted that by looking at the pole, they were going to be alive and not die from the snake bite. Okay? Now, so, the snakes were there because of the snake bites because of their sin. So a snake went on a pole. Okay, you guys got the foundation here. Now it gets to be fun. Fast forward to New Testament reading. Nicodemus comes and sees Jesus. So pull out your readings here. And right before this, it's not in your reading, but Nicodemus comes and sees Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, how are we going to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," like what I was just talking about, "so must the Son of Man," as he's pointing to himself, "must be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Okay, so that's how we're saved. Jesus being lifted up on the cross is like a parallel foreshadow, whatever, of what happened with Moses and the snake being lifted up. So mankind, you, me, everybody here, we're all sinners. Only Jesus is the only person that ever had no sin. And that's part of the problem. In our society today, people think that they're not sinners. If you haven't been a mass murderer, if you've not robbed a bank, the list goes on. I'm not really that bad. I try to do good. I only cut people off half the time, you know, whatever. I only cut in line when I play like I'm not, you know. And I didn't steal that pencil in second grade like everybody else did, right? So obviously I must be good. I don't gossip. I don't cheat on my taxes. Everybody thinks, right? So the one thing, right, first point that the Israelites had to do and we have to do is realize that we are a sinner. We need a Savior. S-O-S. Send our Savior. S-O-S. Show our sin. It's the season of Lent. So yes, we are showing our sin. We are realizing, oh, help. I need help. I cannot do this on my own. I need a Savior. Someone to come rescue me. I imagine that the Israelites were out in the desert and they had gotten to the point of despair and hopelessness. Nothing for miles but wilderness. And all they eat is manna after manna after manna. Perhaps in your own life you have gotten to that point at some point where you just have despair and you wonder, why are you here? Why am I breathing? What am I doing? What on earth does God have for me? So we've all been in those wildernesses before. And we look to God. That is our way out. And only God can get us out. Only God can make us alive before the snake bites us. Going back to Genesis, remember it was a snake that tempted Eve and Adam. The snake. So we have our own poisonous snakes of sin that try to bite us, or maybe already have. And the only way out is Jesus on the cross to be our snake on the pole to heal us. So number one, yes, we are a sinner. Number two, we confess our sins. We say, God, I've messed up again. Forgive me again, please. I love you. Please take me back. And he does. Because we look at the cross. The number three, remember, was looking at the snake. So we look to Jesus on the cross. Jesus is our Savior. We cannot do it. Only Jesus can heal us from the sin, the death. Okay, so the snake was because of sin, and they had snake bites. So we have the snake theme, right? And then for looking at Jesus on the cross, we have Jesus fully human and fully man, which means 100% God, 100% human. We've talked about that a lot. 200% blows your mind. You cannot understand the incarnation. It is a mystery. So Jesus, 100% human, is on the cross. He's without sin, like the snake with Moses could not bite people because he's made out of, like, you know, copper or whatever. Jesus on the cross is without sin, but he represents all of us like the snake was on the pole to be representing the sin of the people on the pole. So Jesus, without sin, represents all of humankind on the cross because he's our Savior. Okay, that was a pretty heavy theology thought for the day, guys. And you did really well. Okay, so the snake is not a real snake. It's harmless. He is triumphant, showing all the snakes that they are conquered. Ha ha. And Jesus is on the cross, triumphant, showing over all evil and sin that, ha ha, he is going to be over them. Complete triumph over evil. And we know that because of Easter, even though we're not supposed to get excited about that yet. It's still Sunday, so we can have Easter on a Sunday, even in Lent. So we say, yay, Good Friday, because we know what happens on Sunday. The plan works, because he's not in the grave anymore. When you go to the store, you get a receipt when you buy something. Well, anymore, they like ask if they want to email it to you. I always say, no, I've got enough email. So you get a receipt. And it's proof that you purchased something. Easter morning, Jesus being risen from the dead is the receipt that the cross, the crucifixion, Jesus on the pole, on the cross, worked because he rose from the dead. I really got off subject, guys, here, so I think we got it all covered. The last song, well, no, the first song that we sing today is going to be the last song that we sing next week. And I know you guys like Amazing Grace. I heard Scott say we should probably know this. That's a good idea. Amazing Grace. So you know what grace is? God's uncontrollable or love to us that we do not deserve and we do not earn. He just showers it on us. Okay, that's grace. It's going to be a test on that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We don't usually use that word too much these days. Wretch. Oh, you look very wretching today. Like, no, right? So, think of it this way. Have you ever been a wretch? You know the Dirty Jobs show that they had? Used to love that show. You know, he'd go into the grease pits and clean them out or, like, you know, clean up bat maguana, or I always wanted him to come follow me as a day as a nurse. Like, you don't know what dirt is, right? And the good old days. But so we were in that mess. We were in that muck, and he comes and he pulls us out. That muck, that is wretch. That's what we are in our sinful state. So amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost. That means, from the New Testament reading, you're following the way of darkness and evil, and you are totally oblivious to this light over here of Christ and God's love. I was once lost. I was once going the way of darkness and evil, my own way, making myself so great I don't need you, God. That's the way of darkness. I was lost. I was dead. I was the people that had been bitten by snakes with Moses. I was that way. I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm found. Christ has come to me because I, on my own, cannot fix it. The people that were bitten by the snakes, they could not fix it. They had to look for the pole with the snake. We cannot fix our sinful state. We are walking the way of darkness. We are lost. We are dead. We have to look for the Savior Christ. And now I'm found. That reminds me of the 100 sheep and one gets lost, right? God goes out of his way to find us. Statistically, 1% isn't that big a deal. But it is a big deal for God. And he comes and he searches for us and he finds us. He calls our name. He comes and finds us, each of us. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind. I was oblivious and totally clueless and could care less and was busy with other stuff and did not even know what I was missing. Until Christ came and he helped me to see. He healed me to be able to see all this other stuff that I was blind to before. Okay? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now am found. I was blind and now I see. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.